How do we know that classical art, as opposed to modern art, is so good? We know it because it was produced within the demanding standards and refined principles of aesthetics, the centuries-old branch of philosophy that measures artistic quality. Painting, drawing, and sculpture employ a number of characteristics, such as composition, form, color, line, texture, and movement, to create beauty. To the experienced eye, and even to the casual viewer, each of these is present in any work of art worthy of being called art. Composition, for instance, is the positioning of objects, elegant and controlled in the hands of a master, or awkward and haphazard in the hands of the inept. Color can be exquisitely balanced and harmonious, or garishly random and unsavory. Movement can be uplifting and dynamic, or static and perverse. In my previous PragerU video, Why is Modern Art So Bad?, I chronicled how art began to decline, beginning from about the 1860s, when aesthetic standards were gradually abandoned. Unfortunately for the arts, not everyone agrees. I'm sure you've heard the arguments. Art is simply a reflection of its time. Art isn't about technical proficiency, it's about making you think. Art is a matter of personal taste. There's no such thing as great art or bad art. Where do these assumptions come from? For the most part, they are the result of art histories written and taught over the last century, not by artists, but by those in the humanities and social sciences. Not having an artist's point of view or experience, let alone artistic talent, these authors and teachers have therefore framed art in the only language they understand, meaning and social significance. It's no surprise, then, that people have come away with the idea that art is simply a reflection of its time. It can be, but not necessarily. In fact, the great artists of the past didn't care one whit about reflecting their times. They cared primarily about creating art that looked good. Art, by definition, is a visual medium. Therefore, its meaning and ability to make you think are secondary to how it looks. After all, there can be meaning in other creative mediums like literature and music. But the visual is what uniquely distinguishes art. Therefore, the visual is what most matters. In fact, a great work can and should stand on its own without the viewer knowing anything about its meaning. When a visual medium becomes more about what it means and less about its pure visual experience, it might succeed as, say, journalism or social commentary, but it has failed as art. So, what do we look for to determine quality in art? It is found in the skillful execution of a visual medium. For example, in a great oil painting by the 17th century Dutch master Vermeer, the quality is there in the controlled balance of its composition, the harmony of its color, the masterful hand-eye coordination of its brushwork. When we look more closely at the soft edge between the woman's arm and her sleeve, we can see that it was achieved by Vermeer's delicate application of paint. This is the very essence of artistic quality. And not, by the way, because it looks realistic or photographic, if you will. Realism is simply a stylistic choice. In fact, great art need not even look realistic to be great. It's no wonder that many people believe the myth that photography put an end to classical art, given that they assume that looking photographic was the purpose of a painting. But that was never the goal of the classical artist. Quality of execution was. With each viewing of classical art, our experience of it deepens. While the experience one derives from much of more contemporary art is generally instantaneous, and, like a joke that requires a punchline, is over once one gets it. This is not to say we can't enjoy works of the modern era, but remember that quality and taste are different things. Quality is based on developed standards, taste on personal preference. There is one thing great art will never do. It will never make a fool of you. Its level of quality is readily apparent to anyone with eyes to see, independent of its meaning. You might be thoroughly impressed with the work of a cutting-edge artist, with its impressive theory, but you have no way of knowing if you're being taken for a sucker. Finally, unlike the inspirational work of the past, much of today's art exposes how coarse and vulgar a society we've become. Fortunately, there is an antidote to this. You'll find it in the galleries of great museums all over the world. Ask the security guard. He'll point you in the right direction. I'm Robert Florzak for Prager University.